your heart. Cause us to look upon you steadfastly until we become that which we see. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. As you turn your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 6, we will begin a very lengthy teaching on the subject of prayer. Hallelujah. Before we begin, I would like to educate us a little, because in Scripture, there are types of prayer engagement that sees God as a father. It's a level of prayer that captures God as a father. It's a level of prayer that captures God as a friend. It's a level of prayer that captures God as a judge. And each type of prayer based on these categories has its own knowledge bank that is a basic requirement for engagement, adequate engagement. Because of the wide scope of the subject, maybe we'll begin with the contemporary, the common approach to prayer, and that will be Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. We begin the basic level. As you begin this basic level, it is possible that you stumble upon some form of intimacy with God, and on the strength of your intimacy, you can bargain with God, you can negotiate with God. And you will find people that were conscious of their currency of intimacy. You'll find them say stuff like, "If I found grace in thy sight." He's using his intimacy with God as a currency to move the hand of God. If you're still with me, say amen. So all of these levels of prayer have a knowledge back end that you need to be supported with so that you can prosecute prayer at these various levels. So we'll look at the common level, which we see in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, where we connect with our Father. And it is needful for us to understand that we cannot exhaustively enjoy the provisions that is available to us when we engage God on the fatherhood level. The Bible says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I tried to educate us on this matter, but I couldn't go very far. So we will begin and we'll see how much we can go. There are 9 lessons in this fatherhood perspective. We have 9 lessons that we need to receive so that we can fully exploit our fatherhood relationship with God. The first thing in this scripture I like us to understand is the kind of father that God is. The kind of father that God is. This scripture is saying that the extent to which we can benefit from the possibilities of prayer is tied to our understanding of God as Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. All right, so in order for us to know who our Father is, we will need to move to another scripture in order to get a witness from that scripture. It will give us perspective on how to engage. And the other scripture I want to draw our attention to happens to be the book of Matthew chapter 11 from verse 27. Matthew chapter 11 from verse 27. And this is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, it should be in red. He said, all things are delivered. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and him to whom soever the Son reveal him. No man knows the Father except the Son. No man knows the Son except the Father. So it is quite strange when you find books like the Quran claiming to know Jesus. It's not consistent. The Quran, anybody that has not had an encounter with the Father cannot know the Son. So you might write something about Jesus from your own perspective, but it doesn't suffice as to what Jesus is, because it's not a revelation that came from the Father. Unfortunately, he spent so many pages writing what is not valid, because the only person that can reveal the Son happens to be the Father. And the only person that can reveal the Father happens to be the Son. So if we are trying to engage the Father in prayer, we will need to understand which Father you are engaging. And as far as the Bible is concerned, the only one that can reveal the Father happens to be the Son. So if we are going to prosper in our enterprise of prayer, we will need to stumble on every revelation that Jesus gave about his Father. He's going to give us a good idea of the Father that we're engaging. Are you still with me? Because no one can reveal the Father except what? The other day, there was one guy, I don't know what religion he was from, but he said that Jesus was a supreme master in his own era. So there are many supreme masters, many avatars the prophet of the Quran was an avatar in his time. Jesus was an avatar in his time. Who again did he mention? He mentioned quite some. Buddha was an avatar that brought illumination about the possibilities of the unseen realm. And when he finished his talk, I sat him down. I said, what you are saying here is what you were taught to say. But the Jesus I know is the one that was revealed to me. And I can manifest him. But you cannot manifest any of the things that you read. So my knowledge is practical, is experiential, is based on intimacy, is based on encounter. Your knowledge is cerebral and intellectual. You cannot manifest this knowledge. So it means what I have is superior to yours. What you have is on the soil of your soul. What I have generates from my spirit. I have authority to back up what I'm saying with action. You cannot produce any action to support this. If you can, let us go to the market and look for a blind man. And then we'll try. You will use all this knowledge about our avatars. Your avatar knowledge. Hallelujah. What we are saying is not what we read in the book. The chartered revelator of the Father had encountered us. He has revealed the Father to us. Hallelujah. It happens that we were privileged to be part of the people that the Son decided to reveal the Father to. So we know the Father through the witness, through the testimony of the Son. We have not just read a book. We have had an encounter with the Son, and he has revealed his Father to us. That's why we are not products of books. All those religions, they thrive by some sacred writings. We have gone beyond Logos into the spirits that gave life, rise to Logos. Oh, I met another one, and that one said, that you see, man existed before any book was written. So, if you want to talk about man, don't talk about man with a book, because every other book came after man had existed. So your Bible is a product. Man pre-exists your Bible. Man pre-exists the Quran. Man pre-exists. I said, all right. Before we put the Bible down, let me read a portion of it to you. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the eternal past. Meanwhile, that's the most distant revelation into the past that any man, any mortal was ever given the privilege to see. There was some point in the eternal past where the council of the Godhead sat together. In the beginning, the Bible says, in that eternal past, there was a personality in the Godhead that was called the Word of God. This personality happens to be the compendium of the wisdom and the purposes of God. This personality happens to be the administrative entity that is found in the Godhead. And every knowledge of God must begin with the knowledge of that personality. You cannot know God as God. You can only know God through that personality. And that person, he was a Christian, but when these arguments came, they were so superior to the knowledge of God. You see, he had not met anyone that had encounter with God. He met people that had letters. So it is Jesus that happens to be the chartered personality that can reveal the Father. So if we want to know the Father, because we need to know the Father, because we are engaging God as Father in our enterprise of prayer. Are you here? All right, so. My intention this evening is to show us the 9 revelations of the Father that Jesus gave us, which is supposed to give us all the insights that will facilitate our prayer adventure. Are you still with me? All right. Let me read another scripture before I start. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 7 to 11. This is still Jesus speaking, and Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Why? Because everyone that asks, receives, everyone that seeks, finds, and to everyone that knocketh, it shall be open. This is, I don't want to press here. I don't want to press. Not today. We will press on this subsequently when we have time to press on it. Say, ask. If Jesus never said that, you will not know that that provision existed. Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. This is supposed to be a scripture that is given to us to encourage us, to tell us that there's profit in spiritual adventure. There's profit. You will find it. Right? But the point is, you need to know how to ask. You need to know how to seek. You need to know how to knock. If you do something that is equivalent to asking, you will receive. If you do something that is equivalent to seeking, you will find. You do something that is equivalent to knocking, you it shall be opened unto you. Because in the spirit it has been articulated that everyone that asks receives, everyone that seeks finds, to everyone that knocketh, it shall. We'll come to that. So, yes, next verse. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread will give him stone? Or if he asks fish, will give him a serpent? He's asking, is there any kind of man that if your son comes to you to ask of bread, you'll give him a stone? Huh? Have you seen such a man? Have you ever seen a man that if his son comes to ask him for fish, gives him a serpent? I know you have not seen such a man. It means that as men, we tried here. Huh? However, next verse is my emphasis. If then ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. You see, you are not with me. You are lost again. Now, this is a scripture that affords us the opportunity to have a common ground of comparison between our own model of fatherhood compared to God's model of fatherhood, according to comparison. Because someone here might say, okay, I'm a father too. And because I'm a father, it will give me an insight into the kind of father God is. This scripture is here to prove you wrong. According to this scripture, your own model of fatherhood, as good as it may be, because your son will not come to you to ask for fish and you give him a serpent. Your son will not come to you to ask for bread and you give him a stone. So you might call your model of fatherhood good. Okay? But compared to God, your model of fatherhood is evil. And your being evil doesn't prevent you from giving good gifts unto your children. It means that your model is no example that will give you enlightenment about the kind of father that God is. Meanwhile, you evil people, in your practice of fatherhood, give good gifts to your children. But how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So he's just trying to make you understand that don't put your own fatherhood and the fatherhood of God on the same level. We have more chances with God than with you. We have much more chances with God than with a human father. Because compared to God, we are evil. And did you get this? All right, that's why we need to tune to Jesus for him to give us insight into the kind of father that God is. And throughout the lecture, we'll find an occasion to engage our father in prayer. Are you with me? All right. Okay. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin from verse 5. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. The first possibility that Jesus is unveiling here that can exist in prayer is what he calls a prayer hypocrite. He said, labor not to be in the category of a prayer hypocrite. When you pray, what? Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. But they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street. The hypocrite has two platforms. One is called the anointed. You know, the Bible is prophetic. This Bible. Let's try again. I said the hypocrite has two platforms. One is called what? Synagogue. And the other one is the corner of the street. May the Lord give you understanding. We have to identify the prayer hypocrite. Because the prayer hypocrite is not an example of one that is praying accurately to a father. But you soon find out. The burden of the hypocrite is that he must be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, have their reward. Can you underline reward, please? Your Bible is not borrowed. Can you underline reward? Sister, how are you? What's your name? Jacinta. When you pray, what do you want? When you engage prayer, is it not that you want an answer, a response from God? So you are praying for the purpose of getting answers. According to this scripture, there is a difference between prayer answered and prayer rewarded. In fact, this scripture is an advocate for prayer rewards, not even answers. You're not with me.
And the hypocrite is excluded from the possibility of rewards, prayer rewards. Meanwhile, the hypocrite can get prayers answered. When we begin, you know, these simple topics, we need to teach them again. And again, and again. This plain, simple prayer. This journey we are going, you will find a few things that will make you accurate. So that your prayer enterprise will become an enterprise of delight. You can, like me now, I know the Father. I know Him. Because part of what Jesus does is that He reveals His Father to you. So that the possibility of a deeper intimacy that is the basis of the victorious faith, right, can rise from within your spirit. There is a level to which you know the Father that will affect your faith life. It will affect your possibility life. And those journeys in intimacy are not open to hypocrisy. Remember, the hypocrite has two platforms. Which was the first one? Second thing about the hypocrite is that he is excluded from prayer rewards, even though he can get prayer answers. Because the Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he say what? Not an answerer, but what? You must believe that. So there are rewards that are associated with prayer. Now imagine. This is Pastor Dan. Okay? If I'm praying for Pastor Dan in my closet, and you really need a prayer reward, it means that I should never walk up to Pastor Dan and say, you know, we are praying for you. The moment I say that, I've received my reward. My prayers can be answered in his life, but my enterprise of prayer labor in his life is designed to also bring me into the realm of reward. Because when I'm laboring for Pastor Dan and he doesn't even know, it's a closed circuit. And it's only God that is aware of my actions. He might even find some breakthrough around his life. He might think it's his prayer. And I'm not quick to go give him insight that we labored for him. That kind of a secluded enterprise can only be rewarded directly by God. Because there's no way I can profit from engaging God on his behalf. Are you with me? You're not with me. I will keep saying it until you get it. Because the first danger that Jesus unveils in this prayer enterprise to the Father is, don't become a hypocrite. So in a place like this where we pray, we need to bring quality control into our operations. Lest you will have access to answers, but few of us will tap into it. When you begin to walk with God and God begins to walk with you, you will know that there are several things God begins to do in your life. There is no prayer you could have formulated that would have been prayer enough for you to enter into those dimensions that God is now unleashing upon your life. It is obviously a reward, not an answer to any prayer. So deep men in the spirit that are not hypocrites are actually seeking for rewards for prayer, not answers to prayer. Even though answers to prayer are wonderful, but there's something higher than that. It's called what? Words. Somebody met me sometime. I think we were in the waiting lounge at the airport. Ah, Pastor. He wants to ask me one question. What was the price I paid for God now? Considered me to be eligible for the kind of authority he has given me. Because today, knowledge is in buttons. Buttons for people to press, you know, so that if they can press the same buttons, they get the same. We are in the computer age, even in spiritual things. People believe it's just buttons. But Jesus is saying, make sure you are not a hypocrite. Because if you are not a hypocrite, you will be eligible for rewards. Please help me tell your neighbor, there are rewards in the spirit. God can reward you with a husband, just one husband. And after 20 years, you will know that it is not your prayer that produced this man. Something happened. And, and that's vice versa. God can just give you a wife. And after 5 years of living with that woman, you say, this is a reward. This is not an answer to prayer. But most of you, when it is time to get married, you are seriously praying and trusting God for answers in that area. There's something better than answers in the world. And Jesus is saying, if you are a hypocrite, you are excluded from the possibility of being rewarded. If you got that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, next verse. Now he's given us the prescription. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door,